1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 16. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 16. If you would stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, if you're able this morning. The Bible says, Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king to the one, the one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the others said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? You think about the text that we're preaching from this morning, you say, that's a pretty weird text to be preaching a Mother's Day sermon from. But you know, not everybody has a mother that is exemplary in every way. Amen? Not every person's mother is one that's at every PTA meeting and is the one that makes all the cupcakes and does everything at the school. Is the one that's able to be there when no one else can be there. Not everybody's mother is the perfect picture of what we think of as mother. But that doesn't change the fact that she's still a mother. Not every mother is of the highest and most revered things that we think of as far as character and nature. Here we have the account of two women that are harlots, but they're mothers. Here we have the account of the unregarded mother. Sometimes we have mothers that come into our midst that have children and they don't have the fathers with them. And sometimes when they come, they feel stigmatized because they feel that everyone's looking down at them. E.K. Bailey preached a message on Hosea, probably one of the best messages I've ever heard preached. And he preached a message from the thought and from the picture of being Hosea the prophet. And for those who aren't familiar with Hosea was told to go marry a harlot so that God could use their relationship as a picture of his people's insolence, of his people's indifference to the love and the compassion that he has shown them. And he used the picture of the analogy of how perhaps when she had married Hosea, And he had taken Gomer to be his wife, who was a harlot. The Bible tells us she was a harlot. And he was told to pick her specifically. That no doubt when he brought her back, and he brought her back into the assembly of the prophets, and to where all the other prophets were, perhaps folks were looking at her, and folks were jeering at her, and folks were maybe saying things behind her back, and folks were making her to feel uncomfortable. And yet now she was his wife. Yet now she bore him children, and she became the mother of his children. But there was always that stigma that was attached to her because of what she used to be and what she had been. And as she was trying to do right, she was feeling, here's the point that E.K. Bailey made, it's one of my things I remember from that message more than anything else. She was feeling the pull from the outside, but she was feeling a push from the inside. Sometimes the unregarded mother is the one who needs the most help. And instead of jeering and leering and making them feel uncomfortable, we need to come around that mother and make her feel special and make her feel precious. If she's got children, if you don't do it for any other reason, you ought to do it so that her children knows that somebody cares.
Amen.
There's somebody that cares. I love that song. Brother Jim will sing it for me every now and then. The Rochesters played it when they were here. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. I want you to know something. Nobody will ever care like Jesus, but he's put a church, he's put his people in this world to care for other people like he cared. The Bible tells us in Philippians, esteeming other better than thyself. Can you imagine a harlot coming in to Charlestown Baptist Church this morning, and you know she's a harlot. You know her character is of the basest sort. Can you love her like Jesus has loved her? Because if you can't love her that way this morning, and then you don't know what the love of God is all about. This mother who's come because there's a need. The Bible tells us a lot about people who are harlots and who have dealt with harlots. And you'd be surprised. Rahab the harlot is always mentioned as Rahab the harlot. She never lost that stigma. But her faith in God is accounted unto her. Tamar decided to play the harlot. And guess what? When you go back into the lineage of Jesus, you go back into his family tree, you find this woman Tamar right there toward the beginning of the middle of his lineage. A woman who played the harlot. The Bible tells us about Samson, who was a judge in Israel. But yet he went in unto a harlot. Oh, it's easy to look down our noses at the harlot, but what about the one who frequented the harlot? We read about another man in the book of Judges, a man by the name of Jephthah. He became a deliverer of Israel. He won a decisive victory, a decisive battle. He brought to Israel back out of bondage. His mother was a harlot. You see, there are women in this world who are in circumstances and situations that we don't know and we don't always understand, but they have families and they have children. They're the mother that everybody doesn't think about when they think about a mother. They're the mother that is forgotten when everybody is thinking about a Mother's Day card, when everybody's thinking about a Mother's Day flower. They're the ones that are forgotten. But let me tell you something, Jesus hasn't forgotten them. Jesus hasn't disregarded them. Let me remind you of something. Your sin is no better than their sin. Your life is no greater than their life. The only thing that matters and the only thing that makes a change is if Jesus is on the inside. I want to preach to you this morning about the unregarded mother. And I want you to see her love for her child. In verses 16 to 21, the Bible tells us that she came unto the king and she began to plead her cause. She began to plead her need. She pleaded on behalf of her child. And friend, this morning, if we could have some mothers in our churches today that would plead for their children the way that this harlot pleaded for her child, we would see things change and we would see things happen in our churches' lives and in our families. Amen. She was a harlot, but she came boldly before the king to plead her cause. Do you realize the danger that she was in? Amen. She was a person that wasn't supposed to be coming to the king's palace. She wasn't the person that was supposed to be in the king's house. But yet, the king heard her. Yet, the king was willing to listen to her. Yet, the king was there for her, just like Jesus is for us. The Bible tells us that we've been granted access to the throne room. We can come boldly before the throne room. But how many times do we allow our children just to go on and we don't take the time to plead on our child's behalf? This isn't just for moms. This is for dads too. How many times do we have needs and we don't plead on behalf of what the need is? How many kids here have moms and dads that are lost and unsaved and on their way to hell and you haven't taken the time to plead their cause before God? This woman was a harlot. This woman was the type of person that we looked down upon. But she knew. She knew that she had to plead on behalf of her son. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I bet this woman didn't have a whole lot of peace in her life. But I think when she was able to get to the throne room, I think when she was able to get before the king and plead her cause, she found some satisfaction. She found some peace that she couldn't find anywhere else. Oh, if we could just take her example and not fear what other people are going to think, not fear what other people are going to say when we tell them, well, I'm trusting Jesus. I know the government can do this, and I know the government can do that, but praise God, I'm going to trust Jesus. Amen. I know this one can do this, and this one has that, but praise God, I'm going to trust Jesus. And we go to Jesus, and we bring our petitions and our calls before Jesus. I'm sure some folks wonder, well, why don't you go here and why don't you go there? Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And she said, no, I'm not going anywhere but to the king. Amen. She pleaded for her child. When was the last time? I'm not talking about you say, well, Lord, watch over my kids. When was the last time by prayer and supplication you got down on your knees and you petitioned the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on behalf of your children? When was the last time in earnestness you got passionate about your prayer and you said, Lord, my child needs a touch from you. My child needs the help that only you can bring. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. Lord, I'm trusting you. Amen. She was passionate in her plea to the king. She didn't beat around the bush. She didn't make no bones about who she was. See, that's the thing most of us got to get out of our way. She knew she wasn't nothing but a harlot. But yet she knew the king would hear her plea. She knew she wasn't nothing but a harlot. But she knew that the king could give a right judgment. She knew who she was. Do you know who you are? You know, I tell you all the time, I know who I am. Hey, man, I know who you are too. But do you know who you are? What do you mean, preacher? No good, dirty, filthy, stinking, low-down, rotten sinner that deserves to be in hell with your back broke. But I've been saved by the grace of God. That's who I am. I'm undeserving. But I've been given access. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He does. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're that unregarded mother. Jesus still loves you. Jesus still hears you. Jesus wants to hear your plea. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you, dear friend. Let me tell you what. The only thing that matters is what Jesus thinks about you. And He thought enough of you that He was willing to come into this world and die and give His life a ransom for you. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends if you keep my commandments. Amen. He loves you. And He don't regard you any different than He does anyone else. We disregard and we look down upon that woman, that harlot. But the Bible says all have sinned. We're all in the same boat. My sins are no better than your sins. God didn't categorize sin. It's all sin. It all has the same condemnation. Whether you're a harlot, whether you're a thief. Whether you're a harlot, whether you're a liar. Whether you're a harlot or whether you're just lost and undone without Jesus. Sin has the same consequence, the same penalty in every life. But not only was she willing to plead for her child, but she knew her child. Look at what verses 19 to 21. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept. And laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. You know, the problem that a lot of moms and dads have in this time is we don't know our children. We don't know our children. You know who you want your children to be. Amen. But you don't know your children. We're so busy rushing them off to soccer practice and rushing them off to ballet and baseball and karate and this and that and everything else that we don't know who our children are. We're so busy trying to entertain them and keep them entertained. We've lost sight of who our children really are. We're so busy putting them off in another room. Television has become the worst babysitter that ever was, and they'll turn on this nonsense and that nonsense, Teletubbies and this weird thing and that weird thing and everything else. Yeah, y'all sit and watch Teletubbies. Some of y'all watch Teletubbies. Don't, man, that was the sickest thing that ever was. Hey, man. Oh, my baby loves Teletubbies. What's there to love about Teletubbies? Hey, man. But we want the TV. We want the video game. We want the computer. We want Facebook and Snapchat and everything else to be more involved in our children's lives than what we are. We don't know our children. You see, this woman here, this harlot, this unregarded, disregarded mother, she got bamboozled. Amen? But she knew her child. You know what's happening to a lot of moms and dads today? You're getting bamboozled. Amen? You're getting bamboozled. You think you got little Johnny and little Janie all figured out, but praise God, you don't really know them because you haven't taken the time to know them.
That's right. Amen?
Amen? Your kids are out raising hell, and you think they're the greatest thing in the world. Your kids are out raising hell, and all you are and all you have become to them is an enabler, helping them to keep on doing the things that they're doing because you haven't faced the reality of who your little child is. He's a no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner that needs Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What he needs more than anything in the world is Jesus. But we don't want to see that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want nobody to tell us that. Because we want our kids to be perfect. Amen? She knew her child. You couldn't fool her. Do you know your children? Do you really know your children? Do you know all these hoodlums that they're hanging out with? Hey, man. I just feel sorry for brother poor Steve. All those girls. All those heathens wanting to come to see those pretty girls. Tanya and Jimmy. The same boat. Bringing them animals in to your precious, sweet young ladies. My daughter, she brought one. I said, don't talk to him. Don't you say a thing. Dad, don't you say a thing. Don't you say a thing. So I didn't. And then they got mad at me because I didn't say nothing. I wasn't even acknowledged the man was in the house. They told me not to say nothing. I didn't. Amen. Michelle, she's in the nursery, ain't she? Amen. In the nursery. I didn't. I wouldn't. Amen. Do you really know who they're hanging out with? Who's coming around them? Who's having an effect upon their lives? Do you know the things that the teachers are dealing with them in? I know Amber, she had a problem in Rising Sun High School with one of the teachers that she had simply because she was a Christian.
Right.
Simply because she was a Christian. Do you know the people that are influencing? Do you have time to listen to the things that your children are trying to tell you? Do you have time to listen to the things that they're not trying to tell you, but you can pick up just by reading between the lines? She might have been of the sort that we don't think is of the greatest of moral character, but she knew her child. Which is better than what a lot of people in our churches do today. A lot of self-professed goody-two-shoe Christians. Kids are raised in hell, not my baby. Somebody tells you about what's going on in your kids' life, not my child. You don't know your child, you know the child that you want to have. What you need to do is get to know the child that you have, because you can't pray for a child that you want to have. You got to pray for the child that you have.
Amen.
Amen. And when you see your child the same way that God sees your child, then you can effectively pray for your child.
Amen.
Amen. You can't pray for your child that's a sinner when you think they're a saint. Amen?
Amen?
You need to know your children. And I don't care how good they are in your presence. When they're not in your presence, they all have a propensity to be some little heathens.
Right.
Amen? Now, I'm from the old school. My daughter has a daycare. I'm not even hardly allowed around that daycare because of the things I say. You know, I tell my kids, we'll rip your arm off and beat you with the bloody end if you don't sit down and be quiet. Amen. And they knew I wasn't going to do that, but they knew that the consequences was dire. Amen. I knew who they were, but they knew how to behave. They knew how to react in front of me. And I knew that. And I tell my wife all the time, don't you worry. Don't you worry. When they're out of our sight, they're just as big a heathens as anybody else's kids are. Don't think that you're raising a bunch of little angels that's different than anybody else's. Amen. I used to watch them. I seen them. I knew them. Amen. But we got to get out of this frame of mind. Not my kid. Not my child. Not my son. Not my daughter. Kids, you got to get out of the frame. Not my mom. Not my dad. Amen. We're all sinners. We're born with a sin nature. Amen. We got to see us for who we are. You need to see your mom and dad for who they are. You need to see your sons and daughters for who they are. And you need to pray for them accordingly. Amen. Quit putting the blinders on. Quit dreaming. Over in Ezekiel talks about the fellow that dreamed everything was all right when he's living in the midst of sin. I preached a message on that one time. How many remember that? I didn't think so. Amen. Amen. We dream of things like we want them to be. But we need to see things as they really are. Amen. She knew her child. She's seen things. And she knew that this child wasn't hers. She knew her own child. And she knew how to identify it. How she knew the correction that he needed. She knew how to instruct him. Just like King Lemuel's mom. And she sat down and wrote him a letter of things that as a king he should be aware of. And things that he should wary of. And things that he should avoid at all costs. And he also told her about how to pick the perfect wife. Proverbs 31, King Lemuel's mother, writing him a letter, giving him instruction. He might have been the king, but she knew her son. Amen. He might have been the king, but she knew what he needed. Amen. And she wasn't afraid to tell him so. Mary knew her son was the Savior of the world. She knew Simeon told her that he was going to die and that her own heart would be pierced. The shepherds came and told all that the angels had told them. What's the Bible say? Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew her child. She knew her child. Do you know your child? You'll never pray effectively for your child. You'll never guide them effectively. You'll never give them good direction that they need until you're willing to know your child. Not the one you want, but the one you have. Amen? Know your child. If you love your child, you'll know your child. Amen? If you love your child, you'll get to know your child better. Amen? Listen to this. Verses 23 down through 26. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. The king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give the half to the one, and a half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was. Unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. A very, very hard principle. Right here. She loved her child enough to where she was willing to let go. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
She loved her child enough that she was willing to let go. See, sometimes we don't love our children enough to correct them. You want one of the biggest problems, and I don't care who you talk to. I don't care what industry you go to. I don't care who you're dealing with about people. I was just having this discussion with somebody earlier. It's hard to find young people that have a real work ethic because they've never been taught work ethic. They've been taught to be entertained. At work, we hired young people, and it's hard to find kids. It's hard to find young men, young women that want to work. And a lot of that stems back to mom and dad. You never wanted to make them. You never wanted to force them. You never wanted to cause them to do anything because you was afraid they would get mad at you. And you wanted to be their best friend. God has not called you and not given you the title and the job of best friend. God has given you the job and the title of mother. Daddy's given you the job and the title of father. He didn't say that you were going to be best friends. But he gave you a responsibility. See, we've got so many moms and dads today that are afraid to let go of being the best friend that they can't be a parent. This woman loved her child so much that rather than see this child die, she was willing to let go. Are you seeing what I'm trying to get to? Are you seeing the application? You got to love enough to say it's time for them to face reality. The reality of it was she could have half of her son or she could have a whole son. Amen? You can have a dead child or you can have a living child. The choice is yours, but are you willing to let go so that life can abound? So that life can go on? Are you willing to quit making excuses? Willing to quit saying, well, I don't want them to get mad and they won't go. Don't worry, they'll be back. Amen. Amen. They get a little, man, I knew a young lady one time. She said, I'm moving out of Dad's house. I'm tired of living like he wants me to live. And she went and got her an apartment here in Northeast. And her dad, every time I talked to him, said, what you been on? Oh, I had to go down and do this. I had to go down and do that. I had to go down and do that. I told her just to move on back home. I'm getting tired of coming down here and doing this. Amen. Don't worry. They might get mad, but they'll come back. Amen. You're their parent. They'll never get over that. They can't get past that. They might get mad at you. They might tell you they hate you. They might tell you they don't love you. They don't like you. They don't want nothing to do with you. But I assure you they'll be back. Be willing to let go. Quit trying to be the best friend and be the mom and dad that you need to be. This woman loved her child so much. And one of the hardest things we got to do as parents is to let go. Amen? Is let go. In Deuteronomy it says, as an eagle stirreth its nest. You know why the eagle stirs the nest? Stirs the nest to make it uncomfortable for the little eaglets to stay there. Stirs the nest to make it prickly and make it hard to dwell there. So that they'll mount up on wings of eagles for their own self and won't depend on mom and dad to come and feed them, won't depend on mom and dad to come and take care of them. They'll get out into the world and they take care of themselves. Mom and dad, we got to be willing to let go. You know what? Can you imagine what it's like for an eagle to get their little eaglet up on the precipice of the nest, and he's looking out and trying to decide whether he wants to try it or not, and a mama eagle comes along and just pushes him on off. Amen. You know what? You know why she does that? She's ready to let go. Amen. She was willing to let go. Are you ready to let go? Quit trying to be a friend and be a parent. Quit trying to placate and be a parent. Quit trying to pretend and be a parent. I hear all these parents talk about how they can't control. If you can't be a parent to a three-year-old and keep a three-year-old under control, what makes you think that you're going to have a 13, 14, or 15-year-old in control? It's not going to happen. She was willing to let go and be a parent. She was willing to let go because she loved tremendously. She didn't let go because she didn't care. She let go because she loved. She let go because she had more concern about her child than she did about her own self, her own feelings, her own inadequacies, her own station and stature in life. She was willing to let go. And you know what she got? She got victory. You know what she got in the very end? She got what she set out petitioning the king about. She got out acknowledging because she acknowledged who her son was, because she was willing to let go, and she got victory. Just like that Syrophoenician woman. You remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew, Mark and Matthew, it both tells us that. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying go thy way, for the devil is going out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil going out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Praise God. I want you to know something. If you'll get serious with God, amen, he'll get serious with you. Amen. You get serious with God, you can find victory as a mom. You can find victory as a dad. You can find victory praying for your parents and your grandparents and your friends. But you got to get serious with God. She wasn't afraid to come when no one else would. Hey, she was considered a dog. Jesus said, it's not meat to send the children's food to the dogs. She didn't regard who she was. She didn't regard her state. But she made her plea. And because she was willing to make her plea, she seen her daughter just exactly as she was. She was filled with the devil. Amen. She has a devil. A lot of folks in here got some kids that are filled with the devil. Amen. Have you got earnest and got serious and got on your knees and pleaded to God with prayer and supplicate? That, you know what that means? That means hanging in there. That means not just little mamby-pamby prayers, but you got serious with God. If you get serious with God, I believe you'll see victory. But you're never going to see victory until you're praying for the right things. You're never going to pray for your children and see victory in your children's lives until you pray for the children that you have. Amen. She found when she got home that everything was just like Jesus said. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.